we go. Okay. As I was saying, one of the benefits to the students at this medical school has been the small size of the classes.
Oh, I think you're right. Absolutely.
We've turned out some phenomenal doctors, I think. They've done awfully well on their national boards.
They're good physicians. They're now practicing.
They get into other hospital, other programs where they're they have already done things that their fellow students have never even seen, much less been allowed to do.
Right.
So that the whole thing is going to change.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just like everything else with the growth. It'll just not be the small Nevada anymore.
No, I think you're right. And my guess is that there'll probably be an incremental growth, because whoever the dean is, he or she is going to have to sell the legislature and the regents and the university administration that we need to increase the numbers. And my guess, it'll be incremental. You know, we'll go from 50, which it presently is, to 60, and then a couple more years later, it'll go to 70. And a lot of that will be driven by the demands of the population, particularly those who go to the legislature and the regents and say, you know, I've got kids who want to go to medical school and your school can't accept them and they can't get into other places. I don't think there'll be much demand for expanding the number of places nationwide, but I think there'll be sort of a redistribution. There will be states that are losing population and not growing who will probably, for budgetary reasons, cut back on the number of students they take. And some of the growing states, like Nevada, will probably expand over time. Otherwise, we simply are saying we're going to let other state schools educate our physicians. Or, as has happened, as you well know, nationally as well as in Nevada, we're going to say, well, let Mexico, Pakistan, India, Egypt, Greece, England, Turkey, South Africa, let them educate our physicians and we'll just import them. And they'll come as foreign graduates, because there's a significant, that figure I'll look up also when we edit this, but it's around 18 to 20% of the physicians now practicing in Nevada are foreign medical graduates. Most of them have had their graduate residency training in this country, but they went to medical school in a number of the countries that I just mentioned. So that's a cheaper way for a legislature or a taxpayer, a tax-paying approach to it, is simply say, why should we invest money in expanding our medical school? Why don't we just see what the market bears, and we'll attract in physicians, well, for the Philippines, that's another place where a lot of them come from.
But attitudes would have to be so drastically changed, because I know for a fact that people from other countries are not really greeted with open arms in all cases.
No, but
in these residency programs.
No, that's true. No, you're absolutely right. But let's face it, many of them are accepted, not necessarily in ours, but around the country, especially the big cities. And they are many bright people who get well trained in American medicine. Many of them become fluent in the language if they weren't even beforehand. And so, yes, like, we can't ignore the fact that Nevada and many other states, I think nationally the figure is something like 21 or 2% of all physicians practicing in the United States now are foreign medical graduates. Yeah. May even be higher than that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's in that range. I'll look it up when we edit this. It's in the range of 20-25%. So, but in Nevada, it's just short of 20%, and of the 3,000 doctors now practicing here, 20% of that is 500 or 600. Sure. Sure. So that's another way that that it can be looked at and say, well, but I think the driving force for expansion of the school over time will be the demand for places for Nevada kids to go to medical school. Because I think for the immediate future, the physician demands of the population can be satisfied by importing doctors from other states that are overproducing. Ohio, for example, overproduces. Tennessee overproduces. California does not. There's a number of states which statistics will show produce more physicians than their population needs, so a lot of them then leave their states and go to the states that are growing.
That has to be an economical drain on those states.
Sure it is. Sure it is. So it's a very complex issue.
It is complex.
Oh gosh, yes.
Now how many states are there left in the United States without medical schools?
What, there's Alaska?
I know about
Alaska,
Montana,
Wyoming, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and Alaska.
That's it.
Yes. But Idaho and Alaska participate by contract, and as long as Wyoming, they participate by contract with
witchy?
The WAMI. No, WAMI.
Oh, what was WICHE?
WICHE is for undergraduates.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. Undergraduates and some graduate programs like veterinary medicine, I think.
And what is WAMI?
WAMI is Washington, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. Washington, Alaska, Montana.
That's the...
Yeah, and they, I don't know the details of it, but they take some students from those states into Seattle for their first year, and then they go back and spend some of their clinical years in clinics and in offices back in their home state. And the overall idea is that students who go to Seattle or the University of Washington under that program will have a duty, an obligation to go back to their home state and practice medicine and pay back whatever whatever it cost. So there's only four. And actually Maine, I don't think, has a freestanding school. I think Maine has an affiliation agreement similar to WAMI, and I think they work that out through...
Is it Vermont?
They do it through Tufts and some of the Massachusetts schools.
Oh, I see.
So actually I think they're the only states without a medical school, either private or state school.
What do you think about having been an educator for so many years and knowing the university system, what do you think about our chances of getting a law school in Nevada?
I thought they already approved that.
Did they?
I think the legislature approved it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And I think, we can find out when we edit this, I think they are going to take their first class, if they haven't taken their first class this fall, right now, they're going to take their first class next year at UNLV. I think they've even
accepted. It'll be in Las Vegas.
Yes, yes. That the legislature approved that, so did the regents, and I don't know how big it's going to be, I can find out, and I think they've already accepted their first class.
What about a dental school? What's the latest on that?
Well,
anything?
Yeah, I think Ray Rawson, who's a senator in the legislature, who is a dentist and teaches at the community college in Las Vegas, is pushing for that, and I think there's a fair amount of support. But like many professional schools, the dentists are opposed, and just like our medical school years ago, many doctors were opposed, and just like the law school, there are many lawyers who say we got more lawyers than we have to do with. So it's often the profession itself that has very mixed, ambivalent feelings about developing a professional school
very
in their environment. Yeah.
Very.
You know, they say, oh, well, you know, we need a good educational program. We just don't want them in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Send them to the other place. So, I don't have a lot of attorneys who are friends. I have a few. And I've heard the same thing from them, as you heard about. And I suspect that the Dental Society will have a lot of people who will be opposed. We don't need any more dentists, you know. And I think they're talking or have already started a small physical therapy program. I mean, it's inevitable that as Las Vegas grows, UNLV is going to grow. The whole system is growing. The state's, 1.45 million now? God, we're going to be 2 million people. And instead of being one of the smallest states in the country, we're going to be in the middle of the, you know, there aren't that many states with 2 and 3 million people in it. So I just think it's inevitable.
Well, these were interesting ideas and thoughts. no way of knowing how it's going to go.
No, no.
Let's digress here.
Okay.
You went over some of your transcripts, and you said that you had added some things that you, notes about things you missed. Do you want to do that now, or shall we talk more about the medical school? Okay, I'll turn this off now.
Yeah, I think one of the problems we're having...
Let's repeat what you just said.
I will. One of the problems I think we're having with sort of an orderly conversation is that in the last, let's say, 15 years, certainly from the time I resigned as the dean, 16 or 17 years ago, I've had many different jobs. And I was doing a variety of things simultaneously. I was seeing patients in the special children's clinic for a number of years. I was doing administration with the school as dean of students or dean of alumni affairs, or helping Bob with other jobs. I was very active in the board of medical examiners, and I was teaching pediatrics, and I was for a number of years teaching ethics and developing an ethics curriculum. So I never, or rarely, I guess, had one single job that consumed all of my time. I had, and have for years, had 3, 4, or 5 different jobs, which suited me fine. I like that. But I think as we review our tapes and go through this, if we do it chronologically, these various jobs will come in and come out over the course of years.
That's why it's been difficult to do it chronologically.
Yes, it is. We're probably going to have to take periods of time, you know, where you know. But I've never had in the last 15 years one job where I went to a place and focused my full attention on one thing. Even when I was the dean of students, although that was associate dean for student affairs. Well, that was fairly demanding. I still was secretary of the board of medical examiners. I was still seeing some children and teaching pediatrics and developing an ethics curriculum and teaching there. I never stopped teaching. And only after my kidney transplant in 1987 or 88 did I stop seeing children at special children's. So we're going to probably have to, and that's probably your job, but with my help, figure out how we're going to how you're going to do all that when you write this. Because I think if we say, well, let's talk about a chapter on special children's clinic, that's going to cross over and dovetail with other things I did, and vice versa. So
it's mostly what I want to do, though, is review the discussions we've had and expand on some of the things we were talking about,
right.
Because there were areas where I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought.
Right.
And
I appreciate
that's what
that.
I will be doing.
I
so
appreciate that.
Let's end this now.
Yeah.